Welcome back, or welcome to Golf Nerds, with your host, Guy Cross. I'm sounding all very local radio, British local radio, because I am in God's country, Wales, the best part of the United Kingdom. Cutting a long story short, what with the Rona, I decided to ditch Panama, basically because we got some old elderly family. We felt bad about being so far away, so we needed a footprint in the UK. So off I went on the last flight out of Panama. So here I am. And I just squoze in 9 holes of golf before everything shut down. And what was awesome, right, is this golf course doesn't have an honesty box. It's got a little shop. It's closed. But I planned on going there like every day. Or, you know, a few times a week to play. And I'd already agreed that I could use the practice ground as much as I wanted. You know, on the understanding I was going to put a fair bit of money through the till in green fees. So I was like, I'm not going to stress. I'll pay next time I'm here. Well, then they closed it down, so I got free golf. But obviously I would happily have paid for that game of golf if it meant being able to play golf for, well, you know, for the rest of time. Because now I've got a set of golf clubs in the back of my car, rotting. They probably are rotten as well. I really, really do need to clean them. Anyway, what have I got to tell you today that can help your golf game? And I've got one thing. I've alluded to this concept before. When I was coaching golf for a living, I always tried to use a person's existing sporting experience to help them with their golf game. Then I started running, and I was like, I kind of, after a few runs, felt like I understood how my feet worked a little more, and I found that helping my golf. Like, I noticed an awareness. And that was fun, but I had this amazing revelation. Just 2 days ago. No, it would be 3 days ago. So I went out for my run. Now I run 5K, 3 and a bit miles every other day. And I do a 5-minute walk to this certain point, because I run the same every day. I did my run. I did my walk, hit go on my watch to, you know, I'm starting my run, and 20 seconds in, my thighs are on fire. I'm like, oh, this is not going to be pleasant. And running 5K is still new enough for me. I've probably done it 7 times now. Yeah, it's probably about right. And every other day for a fortnight, 7 times. So, like, oh, good grief. I thought, no way, this is where the rubber hits the road. I'm doing this. Can't hurt me, although it could. But, you know, I'm tougher than the pain in my legs. And I just said to myself, today, it doesn't matter how fast you run, just run. As long as you make it to your 5.3K finishing line, I don't care what the time is, as long as you're actually running. Like, it's got to be legitimately a run. I don't care if it's the slowest thing you can imagine other than a run. So off I trot, quite literally. And yeah, it hurt all the way. 35 seconds. You'll notice I'm in the UK, you can hear British accents behind me. Anyway, 35 minutes, I think it was 38, was my time. I did the whole run. And those of you that do run will be going, oh, fat fuck, that's really slow. And to be fair, it isn't fast. But my fastest is 34 minutes, 28. Those of you who are astute mathematically will have realised the difference between my fastest and my slowest is actually very small in the grand scheme of things. led me to think, you know, I thought, I wasn't sure I was going to finish that run. I thought I was going to do it in 40, 45 minutes. You know, I was going to be barely more than a walk. I pushed and I pushed and I pushed. Do you know what? In the end, it wasn't that bad. It really wasn't that bad at the time. And, you know, I, halfway around, I said, if you make it back, you can have a Diet Coke when you're done. And, there's a little shop on my way home from my run. And I finished, went in, bought my Diet Coke, was walking home. By the time I got home, you know, it's just a 5-minute walk. I'd kind of forgotten about how much stress that was. And I started thinking, like, I know this feeling. And it's like when you go to play golf, and on the first tee, you put one out of bounds, and you're like, oh no, here we go. Or you miss a 3-footer early on in the game, and you're like, oh, I'm about like shit today. Or whatever, you know, we all know that feeling. And you manage to scrape one round and play to your handicap, or break 80, or whatever your benchmark is. You know, back in the day for me, if I could scrape one round in par, or even like 73, 74, when my game was shit, I'd be like, oh, do you know what? I feel like I got away with that. I remember once, reasonably recently, I knocked one round in 71, which was one under the course. Pretty easy course, granted. But I just felt like, yeah, I like that. I scraped it around. How did I do it? How did I do that in golf? And the big thing is, I cheated like fuck. No, I didn't. The big thing is I just didn't take anything on that was stupid. It was like, you know when you're playing well and you blow a really good round because you try and do a 250 carry over water with a 5-iron because you once saw Tiger do it? Well, when you're playing shit and you know you're playing shit, you don't do that, right? You've got, you know, 200... I can remember this one shot. I had 210 to carry water and I was sitting down in semi-rough. It was a par 5. And I saw this 100-yard marker. And I zapped it. And it was obviously, you know, let's say 110 yards. And I thought I could hit a really comfy 50-degree wedge. Really comfy. It'd probably go straight to that post. Then hit my 55 and end up happily in the middle of the green. And maybe sneak a birdie here. Or I could pull out my, you know, 5-wood, try and rip one at the stick, probably fuck it up and walk off with a double if I'm lucky. And although it's been a while since I mentioned no laying up on this podcast, I am a fan of their ethos in almost all circumstances, but I walked off that hole with birdie. Thought it was probably one of the best birdies I've ever scored in my life because I was not a dick. What was funny is, as much as you can, I smoked that layup with a wedge and I had to take out the 100-yard stick. Like, I was so close to it, I had to take it out of the ground. And then I stuck my next wedge to a few feet and rolled in a birdie. I think that may have been the birdie that left me under par for the game as well. I think it was. No, it wasn't. That brought me back to level. I remember now. And do you know why? Do you want to take this a step further? Because those two good shots gave me a bit of confidence. And I moved on to what would be the 17th. It's a short par 3 and I hit a 9-iron or pitching wedge. Well, actually anything between 9 and gap wedge. I think I hit pitching wedge. Flag was at the back. And again, I smoked the shot. And it was straight over the stick and ended like 10 feet past, but I knew I nailed it. And didn't make the birdie, but you know, not making a 10-footer is hardly news for me. And went on to the last and hit a solid drive. It was par 5 again, and was looking at being able to make the green, but it was like 105% of the 3 wood for me to make the green. But I thought, well, actually, this is one I can let loose on, because there wasn't much in the way of penalty if I missed the green. You know, I'd got hooks for days, so I knew if I aim for the right green, I'm not going to end up any further right, and probably if I miss, I'm going to be on the left edge, left. You know, I'm going to miss the green left, and that looked acceptable, especially I'd have chipping 2 putts of par. So, smoke 3 wood. It stayed out right, and that was fine. Just left me with chip and putt for birdie, and it's pretty straightforward. All because I made a really good decision to lay up with a wedge. And I don't like laying up with a wedge because it's a bit gay. Not homophobic, but you know, yeah. It's a homophobic joke, though, isn't it? Let's all acknowledge that. It's in bad taste. So, I mean, that's just, you know, it's helped me. And it was remembering that even when I go running now, when we're not playing golf, hardly any of us are playing golf right now globally, I can still learn about my game. I've kind of decided not to do much swing stuff on this break. I'm trying to stretch. Stretch my legs before I run, and I stretch my arms and shoulders and chest out pretty much every day. Just because I'm going to use it as a chance to do a bit of a rebuild. There's some stuff in my game I want to iron out. Mainly the hooks. Also, I'm hoping that the running will give me a bit of lower body strength that I've not had. And I made a promise to myself to come out of this lockdown phase lighter than I went into it. So I've been dieting pretty hard, and that's going well. So, you know, a bit streamlined, a bit more strong, a bit stronger. I think I'm going to be looking good. To come back, and I'm going to sort of work on an idea that I had prior to it, which is kind of build that swing for life. Let's be honest, I'm probably going to be very either 43 or very close to it by the time I next play golf, and my birthday's in August, and so I'm going to work on some sort of simple golf swing that's really going to help me you know, enjoy the game for the rest of my adult. I thought about getting loads of folks on in the break with no golf on the podcast. I've been threatening to for a while, but right now I'm not there. I think I want to capture that excitement we have when we're all back in the game. So I'm not a fan of, well, that's a big statement. I tend to enjoy talking to people who like playing golf as well as being in the golf industry. So, you know, like, I want to get Bill Pressey back on, because he's already itching to get back on the golf course. It's been 2 weeks, and he's like, his last, you know, the guy who made the DFP, directed force putter, he's got a new thing he wants to come on and pitch. But I want to hear about his golf. I've learned some more about him since then. Since I had him on the first podcast. And what I've learned, see, he's a mad golfer and he loves using vintage golf gear. So he's desperate to get back out on the golf course. I think, like all of us, he's been like a little credit card happy in the break. He was like, can't play golf, but I can buy golf gear. So far, I've not bought anything, but I've had some near misses. Oh no, I've got a Garmin watch, but it's technically for running, but I did buy one with a golf setting. Yeah. There's a few other guys. Alex from Orca. You know, I'm in the UK, so we had plans to go and play Woburn, which I was really excited about. Then they closed it, so yeah, can't do that. Got a practice for another great game of golf. Finally going to get someone from Cobra. Flipping motorbike, right? And it's like, it's, you know, it's 2:30 and leaving away from me. It's a crappy, noisy motorbike. Anyway, yeah, I've got a plan to get someone from Cobra on. I'll give you a clue, it's not Ricky Fowler. But it's someone who's a golfer who's really getting into it. He's a staff member at Cobra, like employee. Well, he's not an employee. But, and he's really loving his golf, and then he got thrown off the golf course, so it'd be great to have him on. I'm going to try and get him not to just sell stuff to us as well. It might be a challenge, but that's all right. So, yeah, I'm walking around this little sleepy village in North Wales called Tawyn, which is, I was going to say it's a town that's seen better days, but I'm not even sure that's the case. It's the sort of place people come on holiday if they haven't got much money. And I think it always has been, right? And people still do that when you can travel. But my mum lives here. She just ended up finding a nice place to live here for retirees. And it's where she lives. And it's kind of weird in the summer when it's full of people who go on cheap holidays. And there's lots of bars and stuff like that. But other times of the year, like now, you know, it could be, I know it's almost Easter, right? But if this was a pleasant early spring evening, it wouldn't be far off this quiet on the roads. It's what, 20 past seven? So that means, you know, still people are going to the shops. In the UK, we're allowed out to do our shopping right now, and we're allowed out to exercise. So I've been out shopping, and I thought I'd take a moment to go out and exercise and record my podcast. And there's people walking around, not masses. There's a few like mini supermarkets around, so there's people kicking around those too. And that's great, isn't it? It is great that we have this freedom. My other half is still in Panama and she's allowed out 3 hours a week. She's not allowed out on Sunday because no one is allowed out in Panama on the Lord's Day during lockdown. And then every other day she's allowed out for an hour to go shopping. Tough, right? Tough. So I'm very blessed to be able to not quite come and go as I please, but I can go out for a 30-minute walk to bang out a podcast, and I can go out shopping. I had a tiny car. You know, I've talked about my car, my beast of a Land Rover I have in Panama. Well, I've got a Fiat 500. Oh, yeah. It's red on the outside and on the inside in true Italian style, and it's a pretty sweet little car, right? I almost caused a like 49 car pileup when I picked it up, because I picked her up at Heathrow when I landed, and came out, and you know, you're pretty quickly onto the motorway, the expressway, the fast road, the autobahn, wherever you are in the world, you know what I mean, the fast road, the interstate. And so I'd just been tootling around, getting out the airport. I hadn't really noticed the power or lack thereof of the car. And was coming onto the slipway to enter the big road. And thought, hang on. So it's a stick shift, manual car. I thought, you need to be careful here, Captain. Because this car's not got as much oomph as you're used to. So whereas you might come down here in fourth or fifth and then change up to your last gear as you make it, you know, as you enter the fast road, that's probably not gonna work. So what you can do take this in third, and you've got two gears to play with. So I'm coming down this road, and I haven't really noticed the speed, and I'm like 80% down there, almost at the road. I notice a car overtake me, like, oh shit, I'm going slow. Floor this little thing. Engine makes a very upset noise. Pop it up a gear. Nothing happens. Nothing's happening. And I'm like, oh, good grief, I'm going very slow. I'm very slow. And yeah. I've now learned that I need to give the little tiny car a bit more of a run up to get up to, you know, 60 or 70 miles an hour. But, you know, we live and learn. No one died. They just beat their horns at me a little bit. I was still dealing with driving a stick shift on the wrong side of the road at that point. Because it's, you know, I drive on the right, which is the incorrect side of the road, in an automatic. And I can drive stick, but, you know, it does take a couple of hours almost to get into it. And so, you know, they give you the hire car and you bunny off out the car park and they laugh at you, think you're American because you can't drive a manual car. No, I didn't bunny hop out this time. I have done that. Yeah. But just to wrap up, because I think 25 minutes of non-golf podcast is pretty adequate. Yeah, I'm in the UK. I don't know how long I'm going to be here for. Officially, the airport in Panama is closed until the end of April. Officially, I have a flight home then. Well, it got cancelled yesterday. But the airport's not announced what it's going to do. I cannot see it reopening then. Which means I'm going to be here for, let's say, till the end of June. At which point, my wife and kids will be thinking of coming out for the summer holiday, pretty much. So, I could be here till July or so, even August. All of this depends on how the Rona goes, right? So I hope you're all well. Don't go licking anything you shouldn't. Or, you know, kissing dirty girls or anything like that. Or kissing dirty boys. Stay safe. And you'll be alright, yeah? And we'll be playing golf again soon. So I'm just going to call that a day. No need to drag this flipper out. If there's anything interesting happens with me regarding golf, I'll have a chat with you. Probably it'll be me confessing, going, I've just spent 400 quid on vintage golf clubs that I don't need. Oh, I've got this beautiful McGregor staff bag that was just sitting empty. Anyway, goodbye.